herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply. Echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Continue to pray that the Lord would continue to do a great work there. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We'll go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In just a moment, we'll begin in verse number 15. And this is kind of the last message that I'll preach as far as on this Christmas season. And this coming Wednesday, we'll talk about the new year and about what the Lord would have us in this coming year. But we understand that Jesus Christ came. He was born in Bethlehem. He came to save us from our sins. We understand that. But there's more to it than just Jesus coming to bleed and die for us. I believe that Jesus came to give us life.
Amen.
That's what I want to preach to you today on. Now, there is a difference with abundant life and eternal life. Every child of God has eternal life in Jesus Christ. And we are saved to the uttermost. We are saved forever. But that doesn't mean that every Christian enjoys abundant living.
Right.
D.L. Moody said one time, he said, some people have enough of religion just to make them miserable. But the idea is some people get saved and they never grow in their Christian life.
Right.
And they're miserable as a child of God. The Lord Jesus Christ came. In fact, John chapter 10, we won't read it for time's sake. I'll just quote it for you. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, that's eternal life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And I ask you a question this morning. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And if you do, that's wonderful. But are you enjoying the abundant life that is found in Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
We know that it is a gift of God for our eternal life through Jesus Christ. But the abundant life is something different. You see, we receive salvation by grace alone. It is a free gift. But abundant living there's a requirement that goes with it.
Yep.
Notice what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We begin in verse number 15. The Word of God says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained a mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." We understand that it is a faithful saying that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Now the Bible says that Jesus tasted death for every man. You know, I know that the false doctrine of Calvinism is still alive and well today. But can I tell you something very clearly? That Jesus Christ did not die for certain people. He died for all men.
Amen.
It is a choice that we make. We have a free will before God to accept Jesus or to reject Jesus Christ. But may we understand that Jesus Christ came to this world to save everyone.
Right.
In fact, I said recently that I personally believe that the Bible says that someone who dies without Jesus Christ, their name is blotted out. Now, if it is blotted out, it had to have been there in the beginning. And I believe that God puts our name there in the book. And I believe that He plans on everyone putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But if they reject His Son, their name is blotted out. Brethren, Jesus Christ came to give life. Number one this morning, He came to give eternal life.
Amen.
We understand that today. Now, brethren, if you're here and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have eternal life. No, we will not live here forever here on this earth, but you will live for all of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, at Christmas time, a lot of people emphasize being nice to one another. Now, that's a good thing, to be nice to people, all right? Sometimes it may be hard at Christmas time, but sometimes there is an emphasis on being nice. But brother, I want you to know, Jesus Christ did not come to make us nice people. He came to make us new creatures in Christ.
Amen.
Yes, now if we are new creatures, there should be love, and there should be joy, and there should be peace and long-suffering. But the story of Christmas is not about gratitude. It is not about being nice and kind. It is about being a new creature in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin that we might be born again. He became the Son of Man that we might become the sons and daughters of God. Aren't you thankful today to know that if you're a child of God, you are part of the family of God? We have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus came to this earth in order for us to go to heaven. And unless Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we could not be born again. And we could never live in eternity with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Our Savior laid down His life to give each and every one of us eternal life. So Christ came to give us eternal life. But secondly, Jesus came to give us enriched life. Now this is something very important. He came to give us the abundant life. Now this morning, there is a great difference between just existence and between enjoying life. If you're here today, you exist. I hope that you know that, all right? But you exist. And in fact, I remember years ago hearing the story about a man who was just convinced that he was dead. Now he was living, but he was dead. He went to a psychologist and he said, "Look, I'm dead. I've already died." And the psychologist thought to himself, "I've never had a situation like this before." And he said, "Sir, you're existing. You're alive. You're here." He said, "No, I'm dead." And the psychologist looked at him and he said, "Well, do dead men bleed?" He said, "Well, no, dead men do not bleed." And he reached over and grabbed a knife and reached over and poked the man in the hand and began to bleed. And he said, "Well, look at that. Dead men do bleed, you know?" Let me say something to you. you're alive here today, God has given you existence. But there is a great difference between existence and abundance. There are some people who are children of God. They have eternal life in Jesus Christ, but they don't enjoy life. They don't enjoy their relationship with Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. Christ didn't just come to give you eternal life and to give you freedom and knowing that you're going to heaven forever, but He came so that you would have abundant life. Abundant life in Christ. Years ago, there was a study that was done among some young college students. They were asked to define life in a school paper. Here are some definitions that won honorable mention. Here are some the definitions of life that some of these young college students wrote. Now, this is nothing funny that they wrote, but it was what they defined life. One college student said, "Life is a jail sentence that we get for the crime of being born." That's what they thought of life. Someone else wrote, "Life is a disease for which the only cure is death." Now think of the hopelessness of these young college students. Oh, someone also wrote, "Life is a joke that isn't even funny." Is it possible for you and me to know abundant living? Now Christmas time, and it's a great time of the year that we celebrate our Savior's birth. It's also a wonderful time that we give gifts to one another. I enjoyed yesterday morning giving gifts to my wife and giving gifts to my three children. And they gave gifts. And it's a wonderful time. But can I help you understand something? I think you know this. No matter how expensive the gift may be, there is really no total fulfillment and satisfaction in material possessions that we can own. Right. Those gifts will diminish one day. Those gifts, if we keep eating like we are eating, may not fit one day, all right? You understand what I'm talking about there. You know, Christmas time, you just eat and wait until you can eat again. You know, how many understands what I'm talking about there, all right? And it's almost the second stanza, same song, you know? But those gifts do not last. I remember as a kid, I used to think that, boy, if I got everything on my list, I would be a happy boy. And sure, I was happy. You know, after a few weeks, the happiness of those material possessions, they grew dim, did they not? Our son Joshua, of course, is 14 years of age. My wife and I were laughing last night just to one another because I remember when we had first come here, he was just 3 years of age. And I remember we were having a Christmas service together. Now, I can't remember exactly the details of what it was like. But I know that it was something along the lines that after we got out of church, we were going to go home and open some presents together. Whatever it may have been. May have been a Christmas Eve. Maybe it's something like that. But during the fellowship course, he came up to me with a little piece of paper. And on one side, it had a frowny face. And he said, "Dad, this is how I am right now, all right?" And I said, "Okay." And so I'm glad being in church, that's good, you know, and all that. And then he flipped it over and it had a smiley face. He said, "This is how I'll be after church, you know." Well, for him, that meant going home and open presents, all right? But I think for so many people, they think, you know, if I can get to this next area of life, then I'm going to be happy. You know, it could be for some people, it could be when we have children, then we're going to have happiness. And then it may be later on, a year or two, after the children are gone, then we will have happiness, you know. And you understand, it is almost as if we can live for the next era, the next time, the next phase. Then we're going to be happy. Then we're going to experience abundant living. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ came not just to give us eternal life, but so that He could enrich our lives day by day. That we could know the joy of His presence, not just at Christmas time, but at every other time of the year. That we can enjoy spending time alone with our Savior in prayer and in the reading and the studying of His Word. That we can enjoy worshiping together as a church and worshiping privately alone with God. There is joy and enrichment that Jesus came to give us. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter number 8. And I want to show you a very special passage of Scripture. Romans chapter number 8. Brethren, although that we have existence with our first birth, we have the possibility for abundant living with our second birth. By the way, the promise for eternal life is sure. But the ideal of abundant living is only conditional. In fact, I think a great illustration is the children of Israel. Do you know that God brought them out of Egyptian bondage? The picture of Egypt is a picture of the world. And in many ways, it was a picture of God delivering them from bondage, the bondage of sin. Now, that was something God did all in of Himself. He gave them victory. He gave them deliverance. But when it came to the promised land, what was the promised land? The promised land could never be heaven because there were battles to be fought. There was work to be done in order for them to enjoy all that they had in Jesus Christ. But you know what happened in Numbers chapter 14, where the Bible says that the people began to be very fearful and they began to doubt God and His goodness. And what happened? They would not go up and they would not dwell in the land. In fact, the Bible says that Moses sent out those spies that went out to spy out the land for 40 days. And they came back and some of them brought an evil report, doubting God and disbelieving God. And guess what the people did? The Bible says in Numbers 14, they wept that night because their dreams had died. And that night they decided that they were not going to faith God to go into the promised land. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. Brethren, you know what? There are Christians today. They know Jesus as their Savior. They have eternal life. But they're wandering in the wilderness because they will not trust God for the enriched, abundant life that is found in Jesus Christ. God wants us to know abundant living. That doesn't mean that we will never have trials. That doesn't mean that there will never be trials and heartaches and sorrow. Oh, it means that Jesus is with us in the trials and sorrows. It means that we can trust Him and He grows us and we bear fruit through the trials and the heartaches of life. Look at Romans chapter number 8. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Romans 8, let's begin in verse number 31. And I want you to notice what the Bible says to us here. Romans 8, verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
None.
Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. That's a great verse for Christmas right there. God was for you and me, and He gave His only begotten Son. And if God is for us, who can be against us? You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with. Well, God's for you this morning. Who can be against you? If God is for you, who has all power, who knows all things, who is working all things together, if God be for us, who can be against us? We read on here, verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Now go back to verse number 32 and look at this verse. Sometimes we may not think of this verse at Christmas time, but I want you to notice. He that spared not his own son. Now think about this just for a moment. God did not spare his own son. He gave his own son. Do you understand the implications of God giving his only begotten son? God knew what they would do to his son. God knew that they would mock him. God knew that they would reject him. God knew that they would lie about him. God knew that they would not worship him. In fact, the Bible says he came into his own and his own received him not. And God knew that they would crucify him. In fact, it was in the providence of God. It was the very heart of God that he give his only begotten son to die for each and every one of us. And brethren, here's the thought. If Jesus came to give us eternal life, then he will give us enriched life if we look to him and if we trust in him and if we abide in him. Notice verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Brethren, today, what do you need? You say, well, Pastor, I had a good Christmas yesterday. I don't really need anything. No, I'm not talking about material gifts. Do you need peace today? Then can I tell you, Jesus is the peace giver.
Man.
He is the Prince of Peace. He will give you freely peace if you will look to him in faith. Do you need strength? And I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about emotional strength and spiritual strength. Strength to bear what you have to bear in your heart and mind. A strength to deal with what's on your heart. Maybe a wayward child and maybe a marital situation. Maybe a financial situation. You need that strength of heart and strength of mind. Then he is the God who can give you that strength. You see today, whatever we need, do we need hope today? By the way, Christmas is a time of hope, but is it really hope? You know that yesterday was the highest suicide rate in any time in our country on Christmas Day. I know that there's some of you that are maybe sitting here today or listening to me or watching the live stream right now that yesterday was not what you hoped it would have been. We have some friends that spent yesterday in the hospital and friends that spent separated from their spouse yesterday and people that were not able to be with their children yesterday. Where is their hope? Is there hope of a better day? Is there hope of circumstances changing? Maybe there's no hope there. But I'm going to tell you something. There is hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the giver of hope. In fact, the Bible says that he is the God of all hope. What hope do you need today? You see, if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Can I tell you, what I need this morning could never be found under a Christmas tree. What I need today can never be found by what some loved one could give me. What I need today can only come from Jesus Christ. Well, listen today, there are things that I need from God. And this morning early I pray, God give me wisdom. Listen, wisdom comes from the Lord. He is the God of wisdom. I prayed for his guidance in my life and the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you know Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He is our comforter. He is the one that guides us into all truth. But I asked the Lord for guidance. I asked him for peace. I asked him for grace. And brethren, I want you to know something. He is the God of all grace. He is the God of all peace. He is the God of all hope. He is the God that can heal. Listen, do you need healing today? By the way, let's take our Bibles, we're in Romans, and let's go back to Luke chapter number 4. Go to Luke chapter 4. I'm getting way off track what I was going to preach on today, all right? But just leave it with the Lord. Luke chapter number 4, and I want to show you something. He came to give us enriched life. Enriched life. But let me say this to you. Jesus became poor that we might become rich. He impoverished himself that we might become kings and priests with God. Now, folks, we possess all things that pertain unto life and godliness in Jesus Christ. Folks, if you have Jesus, you have everything today.
Amen.
You may say today, well, I tell you, I just don't have any hope. I don't know what the future holds. None of us know what it holds. But I want you to know something. Jesus came not to just give you eternal life. But can I say this to you? He came not necessarily to add years to your life, but to add life to your years. You know, there is a difference between living a long life and living a full life. In fact, some of the greatest Christians of years gone by did not live a long time. Some of the greatest missionaries of years gone by only lived into their 30s, but they lived life enriched and abundant in Jesus Christ. In fact, Luke chapter number 4, and I want you to notice, I read this to our family on Christmas morning, a little different passage, but I pray that it will help you as it helped us. Luke chapter number 4, and I want you to begin, if you would please, in verse number 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, when we come to Luke chapter 4, we understand that Jesus now has entered into His ministry. And here's what the Bible says. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. Think about that. Jesus went home. He went to his, as we would say in Tennessee, His old stomping grounds, you know. I was back in Tennessee just last Sunday and preaching for my dad. I sure enjoyed that. And he was just grateful that we were there. I told the church on Wednesday night, it had been about 13 years since we've been home for Christmas time. It's just a busy time and all that. And my dad told the whole church that. And then he got on to me right in front of the whole church. And he said, son, that was too long. Don't do that again, you know. Yes, daddy, all right. And just keep it on, you know. How many parents know you're always still the kid to your mom and dad, and they always still have the counsel and all of that for you? All right, yeah, you understand that, all right? I'm like, Dad, I'm doing okay now, all right? You can, but anyway, all right? And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region round about. And, verse number 16, He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. Now this is found in Isaiah chapter 61. It prophesied Jesus. Now here He is. He's reading the very prophetic words about Him. Look what it said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now please understand, Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. It's not talking about the financial poor. It's talking about the poor in spirit there. It's talking about the ones who understand they have nothing. They cannot provide salvation in and of themselves. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. Then it goes on to say, He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now I want you to notice closely what Jesus said. He said, He, talking about His Father, hath sent me. Jesus came to give us life. But notice, here is the specifics of why Jesus came. He came to preach the gospel. You know, that's where the very first thing Jesus came, so that you and I could have eternal life in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came to preach the gospel. But look what it says. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Brother, I'm going to tell you this, and I want you to listen to me very closely. There are a lot of brokenhearted people today. In fact, in many ways, all of us have a broken heart. Years ago in Nashville, they were doing a study about brokenhearted people. And the company that was doing a study reached out to some local pastors to ask them how many people they thought were brokenhearted in the city of Nashville. One very discerning pastor, and I know some of the kids won't know what I'm talking about here, but he found a phone book. All right, they used to do those years ago, all right? You'll find them in museums today, all right? But the pastor found a phone book, and he sent it to the company. And he said, here is a list of all the brokenhearted people in the city of Nashville. Do you know, I believe that's true. I believe I'm talking to people today that you have broken hearts. And by the way, can I tell you something? When your heart is broken, it's not really anything that a doctor can fix. It's only that a great physician can fix. Jesus has been healing broken hearts for a long time, and He is great at healing your broken heart. In fact, many commentators believe that Jesus Christ Himself died of a broken heart. That it was literally His heart that was broken. We know that He was crucified on Calvary. But Jesus understands what it is to have a broken heart. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. It goes on to say, notice what it says about Him, to preach deliverance to the captives. Listen, what area in your life right now that you are held captive to sin, to the bondage of sin, to sin habits, to things that you think you can never get over? That's why Jesus came, not just to give you eternal life, but He came to give you enriched life. He came to heal your broken heart. He came to give you deliverance from anything in your life. By the way, you know what? Some people live in the past. They live there. They live in the past. They can't get over something that happened to them when they were a child or something that happened to them years ago, and they dwell there. Jesus came to give you enriched life. You don't have to live in bondage to those things. It goes on to say, and recovering of sight to the blind. You know how many people are blind today? By the way, Satan does his greatest work in blinding us to the truth. You know what? There's many Christians that I know. And there's something in my life that I struggled with for many years. And that was being blind to God's goodness. Do you know, brethren, that God loves you today? Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. Many Christians don't really believe that. Some Christians are blind to the goodness of God. They think, well, if God loved me, He wouldn't have let this happen in my life. And if God loved me, He would have done this and He'd done this in my life. And the devil blinds us to the goodness of God in our lives. And brethren, today, if you really believe in God's love for you, you will know abundant living. You know, by the way, Aaron and Candace, they're away this Sunday. They may be listening right now or watching the service. But we've been praying for them. They've been here 5 years and been praying that the Lord would bless them with a child. And they are fostering little baby Elijah right now. And how many's got to see little Elijah? You got to see him? All right. Well, just look for hair. All right. You'll find him. All right. And some of you are jealous of his hair. All right. I asked who was jealous of Elijah's hair. And the men in our church who have seen days when they had more hair were very jealous. They were like, yes, I'm jealous of his hair. But can I tell you something, what's happened to that little baby? Now, I mean, it's spent 19 days in the hospital just by itself. 19 days. No love, no care, no one to hold it. Can I tell you what's happened to that little baby? It's finding out that someone loves him. And it's responding to that love. I think this morning Candace sent my wife a video of it cooing at Aaron and Candace just out of love for them. But I'm going to tell you something, that baby's responding to that love. And brethren, can I tell you why we do not really have abundant living? It's because we really don't believe God loves us. We doubt His goodness and His care. Listen, there's a God in heaven who loves you, and not just loves you, but He likes you today. His eye is upon you. He cares for you. And if He was willing to give His only begotten Son for you, how shall He not with Him also freely give you all things? What do you need today? What do you need? The assurance of His love, the comfort of His love, the comfort of His presence. Listen, He'll give you everything because everything is found in Jesus Christ. Oh, brethren, today He came to give you hope. He came to heal your broken heart. He came to give deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. Then it says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now think about that. You know what the devil does to us? He bruises us. Some people are bruised by life. Some people are bruised by the offenses of others. They're bruised by the words of others. But there is a Savior today that He came to enrich our lives. And listen, it doesn't mean that the Lord will change all of our circumstances. It doesn't mean that the Lord will remove us out of circumstances and situations. But it means this, that He is there to heal our broken heart. He is there to give deliverance. He is there to set us free. That is what we find in Jesus Christ. Listen, if He was willing to give His only begotten Son, and He did not withhold His Son from us, then He will not withhold anything that you and I need. Number three, the last thing, is not only could Christ come to give us eternal life, enriched life, but He came to give us empowered life. Take your Bibles, and I'm going to have you turn to a couple of places. First, let's go to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. Now, I want you to think about this empowered life. Here's what's amazing to me, that Jesus came and was born, and He was just a little baby. Helpless, and yet all power. I mean, think about that just for a moment. Jesus could have come as a full-grown man, but that's not how God chose for Him to come. The prophecy foretold that Jesus would be born of a virgin, but He came as a helpless, tiny little baby. But wrapped in that seemingly helpless body was the very power of God, the almighty power of God. Now, folks, Jesus came to earth that first Christmas to empower you and me. Now let me say this to you. The empowerment is not to do what we think we want to do. The empowerment is not to make us stronger in and of ourselves. The empowerment is so that we can know His blessing and we can have victory in our lives. John chapter 15, I don't have time to read all of this, but I want you to notice what the Bible says here. John 15 verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now this is speaking to Christians. We do not lose our salvation if we are not bearing fruit. But God does work in our hearts. He works to purge us. We read on here in verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now I want you to think about this just for a moment. The Lord commands us to abide in Christ. Now look, we live in a world today that's always on the go. Everything is about moving, 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 going forward, all of that. And I believe in some sense we should move forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. But the word abide means to remain. It means to be connected. And the ideal is we must abide in Christ in order to be empowered, in order to know abundant living. There is a condition to the abundant life in Jesus Christ. Why do some Christians not have joy? Why do some Christians, are they live in bondage to some sin in their life? They are not empowered. They do not have victory. They have no boldness for Jesus Christ because they are not abiding in Him. Now let me say this to you. What does it mean to abide? It means to get close to God. James 4 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Do you know the problem is we don't stay close to Him. You know, the problem is we do not remain in His presence. We do not walk with Him in prayer and walk with Him in the reading of His Word. And because of that, we know nothing of abundant living. We know nothing of the healing of a broken heart. We know nothing of deliverance from sin. We know nothing of victory. We know nothing of it. You see, Jesus came and the gift of God is just free for the taking. Oh, listen, a gift is optional. You can reject the gift or you can receive the gift. But when it comes to abundant living in Christ, it means we must abide in Him. By the way, here's a great key to know if you're abiding in Christ. Verse 7 says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you. You know, my wife and I, we enjoy time together. Yesterday, we took a walk on Christmas Day. That's a great thing, you know. In our neighborhood. I love walking with her. Coming year we'll celebrate 24 years together as husband and wife. And I love holding her hand still. I love talking with her and spending time with her. I love it. And can I tell you something? The things that we talk about, it stays with me all throughout the day. And brethren, but I wonder, are we abiding in Jesus Christ to where His Word is with us throughout the day? We're meditating on His Word. We're thinking about what Christ has spoken to our hearts through the reading of His Word. And we're enjoying His presence. I was with someone recently. And they were so happy about what God had spoken to them through the Word of God early that morning. And they almost couldn't stop talking to me about it. They were so joyous about it. God spoke to them and God dealt with them. Can I tell you, that's abundant living. And when we have abundance in Christ, He empowers us to do what we could never do in our own strength. Listen, can I tell you something? I'm a preacher. God has called me to be a preacher. But let me tell you this clearly. It is not that it's the preacher has something to say. I pray that God has something to say through the preacher. That's the key. Listen, my life, I can do nothing. In fact, here the Bible says, for without Me, ye can do nothing. We cannot live the Christian life without Jesus Christ. We cannot live victoriously without Jesus Christ. But in Him, we have victory. In Him, we are more than conquerors. And may I say to you today, the story of Christmas, He came to give you eternal life. But He came to give you enriched life. But He came to give you empowered life. Oh, brethren, Jesus became a man and took flesh and blood upon Himself so that He, through death, might destroy him who had the power of death. Brethren, today Satan is a defeated foe. He doesn't act like he's defeated, but he is a defeated foe. But in our lives, so often, we have little room for Jesus. We have no time for God. We have no time to be alone with Him in His Word and in prayer. We have no time to abide in Him. We have no time to spend and allow Him to search our hearts and deal with us and show us the sin in our life. Listen, we have no time for Him. No wonder we have no enriched life. No wonder we have no empowered life. Brethren, today, Jesus has come. And if you're here and you don't know Him as your Savior, then He's come to give you eternal life. Amen. He wants to save you. I was so thrilled, a couple Fridays ago. I can't keep up during Christmas time with what day it is. But at that Bible club, I gave the gospel. The principal was there. Teacher was there. Some other people were there. And 120 sixth through eighth graders were there. There's only 213 in the whole school, and we had 120 of them there. And when I was preaching, it was like preaching right here. They listened that well, and I gave the gospel. And 15 of those 6th through 8th graders put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know what they did? They just accepted God's gift of salvation. But you know, I'll tell you this. I pray that those young people will grow that they'll know the enriched life, the abundant living that God wants them and has for them. And if He was willing to give His only begotten Son, then how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Today, if you're without Christ, come and receive God's gift of salvation. He'll give you eternal life. But if you're today, you're a Christian, and you're really in despair, and you're living a life of hopelessness and a life of worry and discouragement, then Jesus came so that you would know abundant living. But you must abide in Him. And when you come in His presence, He'll give you abundant living. And then He will empower you over any sin and temptation in your life. Brethren, I believe there's people right now that are thinking, all right, here comes a new year. I'm going to get victory over this sin in my life. I'm going to get victory in this year. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never do it in your own strength. You'll never do it by a New Year's resolution. You'll never do it by some step, some plan. I'll tell you how you'll do it. You'll do it by abiding in Jesus Christ, because He empowers you. He strengthens you to do what you can never do in your own strength. Brethren, Jesus came to give life. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank You for the privilege to be able to preach this morning. Lord, it's good to come to church on this day after Christmas. But Lord, I believe You wanted to speak to our hearts. I believe You wanted to deal with us this morning. And I pray that Your work would be accomplished. Lord, I pray Thy will would be done right now in this service. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many today would say, "Preacher, I know Jesus as my Savior. I know eternal life in Christ. I know that if I died today that I'd go to heaven." Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. I know that. Amen. Amen. You may put your hands down. How many would say today, "Preacher, I could not raise my hand because I do not know where I'd go if I died. I do not know eternal life in Jesus Christ. I'll not embarrass you or call you out, and no one is looking, but if that's you today, and you do not know Christ as your Savior, would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pray for me, preacher. Would you pray for me this morning? I do not know Christ as my Savior." Now I want to ask you a question. By the raise of hands, everyone in here says that you're a child of God. That's wonderful. But how many of you are enjoying abundant living? You're enjoying an enriched life. But really the question is, how many are not? How many would be honest today and say, "Preacher, I'm living below my privileges in Christ. I'm living a life that it's not abundant living. And God has dealt with me this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. Amen. I appreciate your honesty before the Lord. Well, I want you to know it's in Jesus Christ. You have everything that pertains to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. You have it. It's available. You must access it. You must go to Him in prayer. This morning, I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, I've got a broken heart today, and I need Jesus to heal that broken heart." Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. Thank you. How many would say, "Preacher, I've got something that I'm held captive to. Maybe bitterness, maybe some sin habit, something in your life in the past, but I'm held captive to it. Pastor, I need deliverance. Would you pray for me?" Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me. Amen. Thank you. Oh, listen today. Can I tell you, Jesus came to give you life, enriched life, and empowered life. If you will turn to Him, in fact, He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Oh, listen, let's get in His presence. Let's seek His face as the wise men did. And I'll tell you what you'll find. You'll find that He'll heal your broken heart. You'll find that He'll give deliverance. You'll find that He'll give you victory. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want us to finish this prayer this morning, and then let's do business with the Lord. Let's let the Lord have His way. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your goodness in our life this morning. God, how we need You today. Lord, thank you that you came to give us eternal life, but you came for much more than that. Lord, you promised to give us all things that we could ever need in this life. And yet, Lord, sometimes we live as spiritual paupers, and yet we do not access what we have in Christ. Oh, Lord, forgive us of not abiding and neglecting Thee. And today may you do a work of revival, a work of cleansing in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to ask the piano to begin to play this morning. And this morning, if God has spoken to your heart, would you leave your seat and come? Let the Lord have His way. The piano begins to play. Came to give you life, but it's life more abundant. He said, I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Today you're held, you're captive. Come, He'll set you free. He will. The pianist is playing a song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn inward, you'll find despair. But you turn upward, you'll find deliverance. Look to Him right now. Look to Him. There's time. God has spoken to you. Would you leave your seat and come? Said He is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Oh, listen, you turn to Him, you'll find help, you'll find hope, and you'll find deliverance. I want to thank all of you for being here today on this special Sunday. We call it Family Christmas Sunday. In fact, next year, Christmas will be on a Sunday. And we're going to do the same thing we did this year. We'll have that one service. And it's a special time. And I'm so grateful to be with all of you. What a great crowd here today. Now, Wednesday night, I want to encourage you to come. And the last service before the new year. And I want to bring some things to you. I believe that God can use in our hearts and lives and help us. And help us to draw nigh to Him. My wife and I would like to greet you on the way out today. It's good to have so many of you here. And, of course, all the Hamilton kids are here. And, of course, Andrew, he's married to Rachel. And Andrew's in our teen group. And many years ago, it's good to see him. And what a great blessing that is. And I know some of you have your kids home from college. And that's a great blessing. And what a great time that the Lord has given us. Well, Brother Bierman's going to close this in a word of prayer. My wife and I would like to greet you on the way out. No evening service tonight. We'll see you on Wednesday. Lord bless you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that you've given us to come together and to honor and serve you and learn more about you, Lord. We thank you for your gift to us and sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord, and something that we can celebrate every day, but that we specifically bring up today. We pray that you'd give us a good rest this afternoon and a good rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great afternoon.